Anya drifted through a maze of dreams. Faces she hadn't seen in years swept past her. She flew over lands she'd visited before on other adventures. From the vast expanses of deserts to the freezing landscapes of both the far north and Antarctica, it seemed almost that Anya was playing out her entire life in one big flashback. Throughout the entire experience, she could still smell that perfume. But it didn't annoy her any longer. Now she just accepted it. And when she did, she felt no more pain in her body. Her ribs didn't ache. Her head seemed clear. She slept. The first thing Anya noticed was the lack of the perfume smell. It had somehow vanished, and she'd been far too exhausted to notice. But as her body returned from whatever dream world she'd lived in for several hours, it was now her main focus. Her consciousness hauled her back up to a waking state, despite Anya's wish to remain asleep. Reluctantly, she opened her eyes. She was not in the cave. Anya sat up and looked around. They were on large pillows embroidered with strange designs.
Took?
Good morning. Well, perhaps not. I'm not sure what time it is. I can only estimate that it might be morning, but who knows?
You seem to be in a good mood. Where are we?
Of that, I have no idea. I only know that we are no longer where we were when we saw the Yeti.
The cave?
Yes.
Anya felt the pillows. The fabric they were covered in felt smooth and silky to the touch. She looked around the room and saw that the same type of material covered the walls. Light came from somewhere, but it was subdued and reflected inward from an outside source. The room seemed designed to transition people from wherever they'd been into this place. Waking up to a harsh light bulb probably wasn't the best way to do that, so the lighting was dim, but Anya could still see everything.
How long have you been awake?
A few minutes, no more. I'm afraid that when you told me to stop breathing, I did exactly the opposite and took a huge breath, which no doubt hastened my own demise, as it were.
You can't be faulted for that.
You know, I noticed a sword of yours back by the plane as well. How is it possible for that to somehow conceal itself on your body and not be noticeable?
If I tried to explain it to you, Took, you'd only have more questions. And they'd probably be questions I couldn't answer. Not because I don't want to, but because I don't know the answers myself.
I see. But you have it here still?
It's here.
That's a relief. We don't yet know where we are. And while this room is lovely, we have no idea what may lie beyond its peaceful borders.
Something tells me that if they'd wanted to harm us, they would have done so by now.
Perhaps. But sometimes it is difficult to divine the intentions of others. I would prefer to not assume anything at this moment.
Agreed. Have you seen or heard anything since you woke up?
Nothing. As I said, it has only been a few moments. Wherever we are, it is almost certainly not within the confines of the mountain, wouldn't you agree?
Unless the walls are rock covered with that fabric. It feels solid enough, but it doesn't seem like a cave wall. It could be anything. Metal, concrete, stonework. It's smooth, though.
Where is the door to this room? It seems that there's no way in or out.
I was just noticing that myself.
How is a thing like this even possible, Anya? I've seen a few strange things in my time, and this defies explanation.
I've seen plenty of strange things in my day, Took, and this still defies explanation. Do you hear that?
Yes. What is it?
It almost sounds like music.
That is what I thought also. And it sounds as if it is coming closer to us.
Maybe this means we're about to find out where we are. And if so, maybe we can find Mike.
What is that?
It sounds like locks?
Brilliant sunlight spilled into the room from all sides, blinding Took. Anya, too, had her eyes firmly clamped shut, trying to ward off the intensity of the sun. Warm air hit them, a lush tropical balminess that wrapped them in its embrace. And the last vestiges of the cold they'd borne with them seemed to evaporate in the sunshine. Took allowed his eyes to open, and what he saw shocked him. A long line of people stood looking at him. They wore a brilliant array of clothing, woven with golden thread and bright colors. It had all the appearance of a parade that seemed to stretch as far as Took could see. He knew it had to end somewhere, but the length of the parade wasn't what shocked him the most. It was the people themselves. Each of them was exactly the same size as him. He scooted off of the pillows and came down the set of steps that appeared before him. Took stood in front of the first person in the parade, a man of his height and width, whose eyes crinkled as a big wide smile broke out on his face.
Welcome.
I am still dreaming.
No, you are not dreaming.
Then where am I?
Don't you know? Your home.
The song. I know it.
What's the matter? Are you all right?
I think I am now. Yes, I think so.
We welcome you to our kingdom, Anya Creed.
How do you know my name?
We were told your name by your friend who is here with us as well. Would you like to see him?
Mike is here.
Indeed. And it is a good thing he is. Otherwise, we fear he would have expired a few hours ago. That would have caused you a great deal of distress, would it not?
Definitely.
Took looked around the land they were in. They stood under a blazing sun and brilliant blue sky. Fruit trees of every type swayed in the balmy breeze, and he saw a stone path leading toward a series of structures farther away from where they stood.
This is Shangri-La?
This is your home. You may call it whatever you wish. Names as such do not concern us as much as making sure all who enter our kingdom are treated with dignity and respect.
Thank you. But I have many questions.
Which will all be answered in time. But for now, you must accompany me to the royal court. There are others who would like to see you. Again.
Again?
Please, it is better if you come with me. I assure you that all of your questions will soon be answered. And surely Miss Creed here is anxious to be reunited with her friend, the one who calls himself Mike.
Can you take me to him now?
Indeed.
Thank you.
Come, my friends. Follow us.
Wait, what do I call you?
My name is Prava, and I am honored to meet you at last, Took.
You know my name too?
Come, let us proceed to the court, where all will be revealed to you and your friends.
Took gestured for Anya to follow the parade, and the two of them walked behind Prava and the others. Took glanced at Anya, but she seemed just as mystified as he was. And what was it that Prava had said? Home? Did he mean that Took had once lived here? The tune they had played brought back a cloudy thought in Took's mind, but he couldn't clarify it. It seemed so utterly alien to him, and yet familiar.
Do you know this place, Took? I heard what Prava said to you back there. About this being home. Well, is it?
I do not know. I don't remember it. And yet, the music they played, it was strangely known to me.
You said you were an orphan.
I am. I mean, I thought my family was killed or did abandon me. But I guess I don't really know.
If you're from this incredible place, then that's not the worst news you could have gotten, huh?
No, I guess not. And Mike is here. That's more good news.
Sounds like they've saved his life. We'll be indebted to them for that.
I don't think they would view it like that. I get a distinct impression they are motivated to help simply because it's the right thing to do.
I kind of got that impression, too.
Took turned back to the path they walked along. On either side of them, gleaming golden statues rose out of the lush grass. Strange faces and animals contorted and twisted together in a variety of poses and postures that reminded Took of some of the Tibetan Buddhist paintings he'd seen displayed in Kathmandu. The sunlight reflected off of the statues and dazzled his eyes. The music that carried them along swept Took's soul into its joyful refrain. He saw a series of fountains spraying jets of crystal clear water high in the air. Under the arcs of water, children played as the parade marched by. They waved to Took, and he smiled in spite of himself, waving back.
Seems like you're a popular guy here.
I have no idea what's happening to me, but I am struck by an almost overpowering sensation that I have been here before.
Is it possible this is your home?
I suppose it is. But the question then becomes, when did it stop being my home? And for what reason?
Prava said we would find out when we got to the court. I take it there is someone we're having an audience with.
I gathered the same. To say I am beyond anxious would be a terrible understatement.
I know how you feel.
Do you?
I'm an orphan too, Took.
Well, Anya, if this is indeed my home, then you are forever welcome to call it your home as well.
Thank you, Took. That's a very kind thing to say.
Took watched as they approached the structure ahead of them. He might have called it a temple or a castle, but it looked more like a combination of both. He could see a grand entrance capping off an approach of dozens of steps that led skyward. Behind the structure, it looked like a mountain went clear up to the heavens. Was that the mountain they'd been inside earlier? Was the building they were entering a part of the mountain, or was it the mountain itself?
Look, we must hurry now. The king waits.
King?
Yes. I believe he's very anxious to meet with you and hear of your travels.
My travels? This is all quite a marvel to me. I'm sorry if it seems like I'm a bit slow.
You are responding exactly as we knew you would when you returned.
I've been here before?
Your answers are in the royal court. They are not for me to reveal to you. I do not have that right.
The parade drew to a halt in front of the grand staircase and parted into two columns. Prava nodded at Took and Anya to proceed.
You must ascend the stairs and take your place in the royal court now.
I guess we go on without him, Anya.
Seems that way. You nervous?
I don't know what I am, honestly. I seem to be caught in the sway of a number of emotions right now. I suppose the best way to resolve this is to proceed and see where the answers lie.
I agree. And maybe Mike is up there waiting for us, too. What is it?
My entire life, I have been forced to deal with stairs that are made for larger people than myself. I've had to adjust my stride accordingly. And yet here...
They are made for people of your size.
It is another indication, I suppose, that this may be my home.
I'm understanding the trouble you might have had back in the world I'm used to. I'd fall if I wasn't taking these two at a time.
It wasn't trouble. Just one of those things. When you don't feel normal, it seems the rest of the world doesn't quite fit you all that well.
And here everything seems to fit.
Perfectly. They seem so happy.
I think they are happy because you have come back.
Really?
It seems that way.
Anya and Took crested the steps and took a breath. She hadn't realized quite how troubling they would be, and even after resorting to taking them two at a time, she still found herself struggling to keep up with Took. The smaller man seemed to simply float up the stairs with no problem. Not for the first time, Anya had a pretty good indication of how it felt to be different from the world around you. She marveled at the brilliance of the red tapestries fluttering in the tropical winds. Their finery could not be underestimated, she decided. They looked nothing like any of the fabrics she had seen during her many travels, but she did have the feeling that they were all handmade. There didn't seem to be any type of machinery present in this place so far. Beyond them, she could see an open pavilion. In the middle of the pavilion sat three stone thrones. An old man sat on the one to the right, and the throne on the far left had an old woman seated there. The throne in the middle was empty. Took looked back and saw Prava nodding his head slowly, still smiling. The smiles the old man and woman wore were indescribable in that they seemed to contain more joy than Anya thought possible. Tears rolled down their faces as they watched Took approach them. They exchanged a glance, and their smiles grew even broader. The old man lifted his hand and urged Took forward to a spot on the pavilion 10 feet from the thrones. The old woman gestured for Anya to stand back a little bit. Anya stopped on the spot the old woman indicated and contented herself with observing everything that seemed to be unfolding in front of her. Took stopped at the prescribed spot, and the old man and woman took an entire minute to examine him up and down.
Took, you are returned to us by the will of the harmonious universe, seeking to restore that which was, for so long, the cause of unbalance within our hearts and within our kingdom.
I have dreamed for so long of this day, the day of your homecoming, that I often feared it would never come. But my faith in the universal scheme of totality has been rewarded, and you have found your way back to your rightful home.
My rightful home?
You are not just Took. You are the one who was stolen from our kingdom.
Stolen?
Long ago, we helped a traveler who had fallen ill in the snows outside of our walls. We brought him here and nursed him back to health. He was beyond words with gratitude. But when he looked around at what we had here, he wished to tell the world of us. We begged him not to, but he seemed determined to persevere.
This man stole you from the royal nursery when you were but a single year of life. Your mother and I despair beyond whatever may be deemed reasonable. We search for you for many years, never knowing if you had survived your ordeal and lived somewhere out in the other world.
I did survive, but I must admit, I have no recollection of this man of whom you speak.
That is because he did not survive the journey back to the other side. When he stole away from us in the middle of the night, he took you wrapped up under his arms. But as soon as he got back to the other side, he was struck by what must have been a terrible storm. He lasted long enough to get you to safety, and for that, we must be eternally grateful and forgiving of his transgression before he himself succumbed to the elements and perished in the snows of the mountains.
You know this for certain?
We found his body within a week after you were taken, but you were nowhere to be seen.
We searched everywhere for you, and when it became apparent that you could not be found, we had to face the possibility that something terrible had befallen you. Our hearts grieved, but perhaps something within us would not let us completely believe that you were dead.
I could not feel your death, and you were bonded to me like nothing else in this world. I felt certain that I would know if you had perished on the other side. And yet, I never once did.
She knew you were alive. Somewhere. And it appears that she was right. You were alive. But you were also alone.
I am alone. No longer.
Took rushed to his mother's side, hugging her tightly. She clutched at him and kissed his cheeks. Anya found it difficult to watch the scene through her misted eyes. Took rushed and hugged his father, and the old man's voice cracked with joy at his touch.
Long have I waited for the second coming of my only son. My heart has always been heavy with grief and guilt over something I should have been able to prevent.
I do not blame you, father.
Oh, then take your rightful place beside your father, my son, and rejoice, for you have found your home once more after many years away.
Anya felt tears flowing down her face as she watched Took seat himself on the throne that looked like it fit him perfectly. He smiled at his mother and father, and then at Anya. Anya waved and felt silly at the same time. She'd known Took for barely a day, and yet she was moved to tears watching the reunion between a child and his parents.
Anya, you have played a part in bringing Took back to us. For that, we are beyond grateful.
It wouldn't be right for me to take any credit for what has happened. Any part of mine in this has been purely coincidental.
I know that one such as yourself doesn't truly believe in coincidence. You have seen things, done things, that defy such an explanation as simple chance.
If anyone deserves your gratitude, it is Took himself. Although I've only known him for a day, he has impressed me in ways I could never imagine. Your son is a force unto himself. He saved my life and the life of a dear friend of mine. Were it not for Took's help, we would have certainly perished.
And yet you were the catalyst for bringing him home to us. So please do accept my gratitude.
Well, thank you.
You mentioned your friend. This is the one called Mike?
Yes. He was badly injured out on the mountains.
He is no longer injured. He is resting now comfortably. I believe he will be awake within the hour, if you can wait.
His rest is more important than me seeing him. So it was your people who took him from the cave while we slept?
When we learned that someone had found the portal, we sent people to investigate. As you can imagine, we are much more guarded about our existence as a result of what happened to our son so many years ago.
Understandably so.
While you slept, we were able to observe and see that Mike was badly injured. We brought him through first, since he would have died had we not.
I am indebted to you for that act. And I'm sure I speak for Mike when I say thank you.
We have spoken to Mike. It was he who told us about both you and our son. It's how we knew that there was a chance that our boy had returned to us.
As you can imagine, we were beside ourselves with hope. And I apologize for the manner in which you were transported, but we've found it best if no one quite knows how they get here.
The perfume.
Ah. A slight sleeping gas derived from some of the flora that grow here. It's quite harmless, except that it does produce a nearly complete state of slumber. It wears off with no adverse effects after a time.
It was a beautiful scent. But I suppose that's the point, isn't it?
Indeed.
How should I address you both? I'm assuming that you are both rulers of this incredible place. Are you the king and queen?
Officially, we have those titles. But we are known by much simpler names. I am Guge, and my wife is known as Vanya.
Guge? There was a monarchy of kings in Tibet known as the Guge. Are you related to them?
I am a descendant of that dynasty. I am a Guge 25. Took is actually Guge 26.
I rather prefer my own name, actually.
We will call you whatever you wish to be called, my son. It does not matter, so long as you are here with us.
It is as your mother says, Took. However you wish to be known is acceptable. You were named Guge at birth, but if Took suits you better, then we will make the alteration accordingly.
Thank you.
Oh, please, sir, I must insist you return to your bed.
You're in no condition.
Leave me alone, damn it. I'm fine. Anya?
Hey, Mike.
Jesus, I thought I'd never see you again.
Yeah, put me down, you big lug. Your leg, how is it?
It feels marvelous, actually. I was in a bad way when they brought me here. I was in and out of consciousness, fever, the works. I don't think I would have lasted another hour, to be honest.
That doesn't seem to be a problem now.
Good to go in a short time, I think. King Guge, Queen Vanya, I can't thank you enough for taking care of me.
We help others where we are able to do so. It was our pleasure to aid you. Although I am told you must still be careful and not exert yourself until your leg has enough time to heal.
I won't run any marathons, that's for sure. So, Anya, what do you think about this place, huh? Pretty amazing, isn't it?
You've made a believer out of me, Mike. I doubted you before, but there doesn't seem to be any getting around the fact that you've found Shangri-La.
Guess it was worth the effort, huh?
The plane crash?
Sing, the money, all of it. I just wish I knew how we actually got here. Because when we were in that cave, I didn't think there was any other way out.
There wasn't that we could find. And Took and I searched the entire place. Well, at least we did until the Yeti showed up.
Wait, what did you say?
The Yeti.
You mean abominable snowmen? You saw some?
In the cave with us. Right about when we smelled the perfume that knocked us out.
Are you sure you weren't just hallucinating?
We most definitely were not hallucinating, Mike.
They did indeed see the Yeti. And if you like, we will show them to you again.
That would be a privilege.
Father, could you tell me more about this place?
Surely, my son. More than 1,000 years ago, the Guge was a kingdom in western Tibet, established by a wise and benevolent ruler who split his kingdom into two, allowing each of his sons equal sway. They built their capital cities at two locations, Toling and Saparong. For many years, our people lived in brilliant harmony. Several of our rulers embraced an esoteric version of Buddhism, which further brought us into harmony with the universe. Together, we live rich lives of enlightenment and prosperity. The first time any people from outside of our kingdom actually found us was almost 400 years ago. Jesuit missionaries came and marveled at what we had accomplished.
What we'd accomplished?
Indeed. You know of the land that surrounds this region. High, snowy mountains and deserts. Further south, there is a much more temperate climate. But here, and in parts farther north, there exists no such lushness. And yet, through our enlightenment and a harmony with all things of nature, we were able to produce a wonderful habitat for ourselves. Using advanced techniques of irrigation, we created a paradise where our people frolicked and sought to better themselves and their fellow people, opening ourselves up to the people of the West. Proved to be a tragic mistake. The Jesuit missionaries insisted on building a chapel in Saparong, saying that the teachings of Christianity were more profound than those of the Buddhist traditions we all followed. The ruler of the time allowed the construction to begin. Thereafter, the missionaries began teaching the people of Guge about Christianity. This did not sit well with some of the other rulers in the area who were devoutly Buddhist. To their way of thinking, all was well and harmonious with Buddhism, and these new teachings are contrasted with what they believe. Worse from their perspective was that the missionaries succeeded in converting the king and his wife to Christianity. This led to an open battle between the opposing factions. Regrettably, this led to an almost complete slaughter of the Guge people. Only a few hundred survived and fled from Saparong, which was later razed.
What did they do, Father?
They took all that they knew about living in harmony with nature and the universe and found a secret valley. This valley, hidden between two massive mountains. One that is always visible to the outside world and one that remains hidden from view. They retreated into this valley and set about turning it into the lush paradise of their past greatness.
And they succeeded. Within a generation, they had created a marvelous kingdom, shielded from the outside world and prying eyes. No one knew that our people existed here. The way the two mountains come together forms an almost impenetrable descent that would be too risky for anyone to attempt if they even knew where to look.
With all due respect, Your Highness, I'm just wondering how that is even possible. I mean, we've got satellites in space that can peer anywhere on the planet. Wouldn't they be able to discern the presence of two mountains and a secret valley?
While I do not know what these things called satellites are, I can tell you that the universe acts in ways that have thus far enabled us to live without molestation from the outside world. Once we've retreated into this valley, our lives became a constant wonder.
It's just incredible. And it honestly strikes me as impossible. But I can't argue with the fact that we're standing here.
Every once in a while, someone finds their way here, through the portal, or just outside of it. We take care to extend to them the utmost courtesy and respect. And none of them ever sees fit to tell of the place they have seen. We remain safe and secure.
Except for that one time. When our precious son was taken from us and brought to the outside world, that man was punished by the universe for his transgression. Otherwise, we have never had any problems.
But what about the reason we seem to be so much smaller than other races? Is it because of our isolation?
Apparently, yes. In some ways, we believe that evolution has altered us in this fashion. This valley might not support our population if we were all normal-sized humans. But small as we are, our people are perfectly sustained within this environment. We don't use what the earth cannot replenish when we need it. And as such, we make it a point to never overindulge or otherwise create something that would destroy this place and all its beauty.
What about the tropical environment? How is it that immediately outside this place, it's freezing cold, and yet in here, there are plants and birds that would usually grow in a much more equatorial climate?
We are positioned directly over a series of hot springs and vents that feed a luxurious warm air current up through the soil. The air here is what nourishes this place. And the hot springs help us irrigate the entire valley, keeping it in optimal growing conditions.
I have a hard time explaining it all away so easily. But the fact remains, we're here and this place is absolutely amazing.
And most importantly, our son has returned. Now he can assume his rightful place as heir to the throne of Guge.
I'm to be the king of this land?
That is how it is written, my son. Yes.
We have been waiting a very long time for your return, my son. I am a tired old man, and your mother is tired as well.
Oh, not nearly so. Now that my son has returned. But we are weary of ruling. It is time for a new generation to take over and guide our people onward through time and history.
This is all such a surprise.
Congratulations, Tuk.
Thank you. I still have a lot of questions about all of this.
Oh, in time, my son. In time. For now, the people of your kingdom are excited to see you again. And they have prepared an elaborate feast in your honor.
Already?
I kind of mentioned you to them when they brought me here. Once I saw how small they were, I couldn't help but let them know about you.
And I believe they have been working steadily ever since it became apparent that you might finally be coming back after all these years. It wouldn't do to disappoint them now.
I wouldn't dream of it.
I can see the trouble in your face, my son. You haven't put anyone out, if that's what you're thinking. This is a time of celebration, and as such, the work that goes on is not considered toil as much as a chance to revel in the fact that you have returned to the kingdom.
I guess so.
A feast is being laid out down below, and your friends are, of course, more than welcome to join us.
Thank you very much.
I could eat a horse.
Why would you do a thing like that?
Forgive, my friend. It's merely an expression meant to convey extreme hunger, Your Highness.
Oh, I see. Very well. Shall we descend and join our people, my king?
First, you had a question a few moments ago, Miss Kaida, about the Yeti.
Yes, I'd like to see them again if that's possible.
Of course it is possible. They are here with us now.
Tuk turned on his throne and Anya and Mike followed his gaze. From the back of the pavilion, two shambling furry creatures wandered over. In the sunlight, the Yeti didn't look nearly as horribly matted. Their fur shone like a luxurious coat. They didn't smell either. Tuk marveled at them standing as tall as they did, which was nearly 2 feet taller than Mike.
That is amazing.
They help us keep track of the outside world. And in some cases, they are used to ensure our survival here.
You keep them here as slaves to do your bidding?
The Yeti are not slaves. They are part of our kingdom and our people.
What do you mean by that?
Just what I say. The Yeti are part of us, and we will never do anything to harm or otherwise subjugate them.
I don't see how you can say that about them and then ask them to serve you.
No, it is apparent that you do not see. But, of course, that is because of your perspective. And from where you stand, you see only one aspect of the situation instead of the other.
I am trying to understand.
Then look and understand. Yeti, reveal your true self.
Anya watched as the Yeti lifted its arms up in the air. In a second, the Yeti separated and became two parts, an upper torso and a lower torso. And concealed inside was one of the Gugay people.
A costume! Incredible!
You see now?
I do.
The Yeti were once real creatures that walked these lands. Their legends have come down to us for thousands of years. But human encroachment eventually led to their extinction. We have found them to be useful in helping us preserve the sanctity of our kingdom. So we use their legend to keep us safe. We don't think they would mind if they knew.
I don't think they'd mind either.
Now that that's settled, perhaps we can go attend the feast. I, for one, could eat a horse.
Anya watched as the Gugay people entered the long field carrying huge, elaborate trays of fruits and vegetables that had been prepared in every conceivable manner. Big bowls of steaming white rice adorned the simple tables that had seats for hundreds of people. Anya realized with a start that she was desperately hungry. Her mouth watered and she fought to restrain herself. Vanya and Gugay seated themselves at the head table. Tuk, Anya noticed, chose to remain close to her and Mike. She smiled. It was a touching gesture of friendship. They were all placed at the head table. A plate was put in front of her, and platters of food were passed around. Anya helped herself to the meal and ate and drank her fill of peppers, carrots, rice, and strange and wonderful-tasting plants and fruits she'd never seen before. She drank out of a cup filled with a fruity wine that quickly relaxed her and allowed her mind to open to the wonder of the scene before her. The Gugé people seemed genuinely ecstatic that Took had returned to his homeland. They kept approaching him and talking to him about his adventures in the outside world. Anya noticed that there were several women who made it apparent they thought he was quite handsome. Mike sat next to her, eating his way through plate after plate of food.
Aren't you full yet?
Not even close. I'm famished.
You're healing. Your body knows it needs fuel for the repair process. How's the leg?
Feels great. After they stitch me up, they put some type of balm on it that I think acts as a pain reliever. Everything okay with you?
Everything's great. I guess I'm just a little bit in awe of this place. It seems almost too amazing to be true.
I know what you mean. I've been here longer than you two, and I'm still in shock.
Not that it's affected your appetite, apparently.
Hey, I'm a growing boy. I need to have my strength, you know?
Yeah, I got that. Took looks so happy.
Orphan suddenly finding out that his parents are still alive and that he's going to be the king of some long-forgotten land? Yeah, I bet that would put a smile on my face, too.
Yeah.
Hey.
What?
You sure you're okay?
Yeah. I don't know. I've never known my own past. But I guess it's kind of being brought up again, seeing Took find his way back to his family. But I'm still searching for the answers I need. Maybe I'm just jealous.
Anyone would be. This is a pretty damn amazing thing to have happen. But I guess we're lucky to be here, right?
And what about Sing?
What about him?
Well, what happens after we leave this place? Sing is gonna want to know how we found our way here.
Who says he has to know?
When we come walking back from that plane wreck with little to show for it, I don't think he's gonna be the understanding type.
Maybe we don't go back.
We can't stay here, Mike. We don't belong here. This isn't our home.
Home is where the heart is.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cliché. Look, Mike, this was never my obsession. I signed on to help you find this place, but I never said I wanted to run away from the real world when we found it.
Run away? Is that what you think I'm doing?
If you want to stay here, then that's exactly what it looks like.
Anya, you don't know everything that's happened in my life since the last time we got together. A lot of crap came down on me, not the least of which is my failing health.
Your cholesterol? That's easily taken care of if you simply change your eating habits.
It's not just my cholesterol, Anya.
Something else?
I'm dying.
What?
This isn't the time to bring it up, but the fact is, I have a very short time to live. I have an inoperable brain tumor. If they try to crack my skull and get it out, it'll just kill me.
How long?
I didn't ask. I didn't want to know. It always seems to me like that's just the death sentence right then and there. Doctors tell you that you've only got 6 months, and whammo, you drop dead at exactly 6 months. All I know is the tumor is there, and it's a ticking time bomb, and eventually, I will die.
Eventually, we all die.
Granted. I would have liked a little more time, though. Say, 30 years or so. Get married, have a few kids of my own. It would have been nice to have those experiences.
You could still have that.
I'm not that selfish. What would I do? Go out and find someone to fall in love with me, have children, and then crush their hearts when I kicked off? Really make me something of a jerk.
It's not selfish to want to be loved, Mike.
However, my time is extremely limited, and personally, I can't think of a place I'd rather be than here with these people. I mean, if you could choose how you wanted to go out, wouldn't it be in a place like this, surrounded by beauty and peace? Everything here is so utterly perfect.
I guess it is. But I don't want you to stay. I want you to come back with me.
Now you're being selfish.
Yes, I am.
Well, at least I'm not the only one.
Anya looked around the table. The party had lost all of the joy for her. She watched, as if peering through a window, how Took and his people bonded. Music started as the meal finished. More wine flowed, and the people took to dancing all over the grass. Even Guge and Vanya enjoyed a few dances before sitting down again. At one point, Vanya looked over at Anya and smiled. Anya smiled back, but she felt no happiness. The idea that Mike would be dying soon felt like a hole had been torn in her heart. She'd lost close friends before, but this felt different. Mike was a different kind of man. He never expected anyone to understand what it was that drove him. He made no apologies for being who he was, and he was utterly comfortable in his own skin. Anya respected that, and she respected what he had accomplished in his life. Barring the incident with Singh, Mike had nothing to be embarrassed about. He pursued what he loved and did so with all the joy of a child. Anya wished she had some more of that mirth in her own life, but that seemed to be a precious commodity.
Anya.
King Guge?
Perhaps we could walk a while?
Sure.
I'm afraid I'm not as young as I used to be. These celebrations tend to wear me out.
I see.
But what's your excuse?
Sorry?
You wear the look of someone who has lost a friend.
I guess in a way I just did.
Oh, surely not Took. He seems to have a genuine fondness for both you and your friend Mike.
It's not Took. It's Mike.
Oh?
Apparently he's dying.
Surely it is not the injury to his leg.
No. He has a brain tumor. It's a disease where something grows inside his head until it kills him.
I see. And there is nothing that the doctors in the outside world can do for him?
According to him, no. They've told him that it is inoperable. They can't take it out for fear of killing him.
That is unfortunate.
I don't mean to be down during such a time of celebration. He only just told me, though. It's weird. I was so overjoyed to see him earlier and everything seemed so great. And now I feel like he's already dead.
Oh, he most certainly is not dead yet, Anya. And you should remember that.
I know. I just can't stop thinking about it. We've always been friends and now I'm not sure what to do.
That is the thing about the universe, my dear. It doesn't succumb to the desires of the likes of us. It simply is. And the things we wish to change are the very things that often must happen. We simply don't have the power to make the universe obey our whims.
Yes. I know from experience it doesn't listen to the likes of my desires. But that doesn't stop me from trying again and again.
That is because you are a human being. And ours is always of the mind that we can control our destiny.
He's just such a good person. I hear about the evil men that walk among us and wonder why the universe doesn't take them.
The universe doesn't distinguish between good and evil per se. Only in certain incarnations will it see things in such a light. To the universe, evil and good simply exist. Neither is better than the other. They simply are.
Oh, I wish it was easier than it is.
Oh, if it was easier, then we would have no chance to learn and evolve ourselves to a higher level of existence.
I don't know how long he has. And he's thinking that he doesn't want to leave here to go back to his home. He's entranced with this place.
We have noticed. You, however, don't seem so.
I've been told my destiny lies elsewhere.
So it would seem. You carry a burden unlike any other outsider we have ever seen.
You have no idea.
Well, we will talk more of this in the coming days. But we must return to the party now.
Why?
Because I think Took has just received what the outside world calls a phone call.
Took nearly jumped out of his seat. He'd forgotten all about the phone and the rush to celebrate his homecoming. It was something he'd longed for so long that this sudden reminder of the world he used to know at once shocked him and made him melancholy.
Excuse me. Harold?
Doc, where are you?
I'm not exactly sure where I am, to be honest with you.
You're not still by the plane, are you?
No. I found a cave for the three of us to take shelter in. We spent a night in it. But then, something happened.
What happened, Took?
Mike was near death, but holding on. Anya and I slept, and in the middle of the night, Mike disappeared.
He disappeared? How is that? He couldn't have just gotten up and walked off, not in his condition.
Yes, I know. Oh, we didn't at the time, of course. And we searched frantically for him, but we couldn't locate him.
So he's dead, then?
No. He's alive and well.
You're not making much sense, Took. I'm at John Somme now and will be coming for you shortly, but I need you to tell me where you are exactly.
I understand, but it's not as easy as that because I'm not sure where we are. I mean, I know where we are. I'm just not sure how we got here. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right, then. Where are you?
In a place called Shangri-La?
I think you'd better explain yourself a bit more carefully, Took. And I sincerely hope you're not lying to me.
Why would I do that? After everything I've done already, I have no reason to lie.
Fair enough. Tell me what happened.
Anya and I searched the cave and came across two Yeti.
Abominable snowmen?
Yes, I realize it sounds ridiculous, but please hear me out.
I'm listening.
They were standing in the cave, and then we smelled something like flowers. It was some type of gas. When we awoke, we were here, in this beautiful land. I have no idea how we came to be here. One moment we were in the cave, and the next we were here.
All right.
The thing is, this is apparently my home, where I'm from. I'm surrounded by people who look just like me.
You mean they're small like you?
Yes, exactly that. And an outsider who broke the rules here apparently kidnapped me as a child. He took me out, which is how I came to be in Kathmandu. He died, and I was left to my own devices. But I'm home now. It's absolutely incredible.
I see.
I'm sorry if that disappoints you, but I am truly amazed at this place.
I have no doubt that you are, my friend.
What is it? I feel like there's something you're not telling me.
Do you remember what you told me about the woman in Singh's apartment? The one who rattled your nerves a good bit?
Yes, I remember.
I did some checking on her.
And?
It took me a considerable amount of time, but I managed to dig up a few things. I don't think you're going to like hearing any of them.
Tell me.
The woman's real name is Xu Xiao. She is what is known as a black pole.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Most people aren't. The term itself derives from Red Pole, which in Chinese tongs is an enforcer, the leg breakers. If you owe them money and you don't pay, the Red Pole pays you a visit.
I see.
Xu Xiao doesn't break legs. She kills. She is, according to my sources anyway, one of the most highly adept assassins in this part of the world. Her skills are highly prized.
It didn't much appear that Singh prized her lethal charms all that much.
That's because Singh doesn't know what her true nature is. She has concealed it from him.
Why would she do that? Is she going to kill him?
No, I don't think she is. If she were going to kill him, she would have done so already. She's had plenty of opportunity to do so and hasn't yet acted. This leads me to believe her real target isn't Singh at all.
Then who? Which person would Chinese organized crime want to kill?
Well, that's the other thing I've discovered. She's not working with any form of Chinese organized crime.
Then who is she working for?
The communist Chinese government in Beijing. Xu Xiao is a high-level operative for the intelligence service. She works exclusively in covert operations, liquidating targets of opportunity that her government deems acceptable.
It still doesn't explain why she would be at Singh's penthouse. Who would she be after, and why would she be there?
I'm not quite sure yet. I have another question to ask you.
Go ahead.
How are the people there?
They're absolutely marvelous. It's like one big family here. My parents rule this kingdom, and I am apparently the heir to the throne.
Is that so?
Yes. Needless to say, I'm a bit overwhelmed by the entire affair, as you can imagine.
Yes, I can see how you would be. I would urge you to be careful, however.
Why is that?
because Xu Xiao is no longer in Kathmandu.
Then where in the world is she?
That, my friend, is the problem. No one seems to know where she is. She has quietly and subtly gone to ground and vanished. I don't know if she was recalled to Beijing or if she is somewhere close by.
Well, why would she be interested in me anyway? I've had no interaction with her or her superiors. I shouldn't even be on their radar. I'm insignificant to them.
Are you really?
Of course.
Perhaps Xu Xiao was positioned near Xing for the purpose of discovering the location of Shangri-La. It's no surprise that the Chinese government has long sought to strengthen its grip on this region. When it took over Tibet in the 50s, it made no pretext about its ambitions to squash the spiritual kingdoms in this area of the world, since it saw them as an affront to communism.
You think Shangri-La might come under attack?
I'm not saying it could, but I'm also not going to lie to you and say it won't happen.
This is all so bizarre. I felt positive the outside world could be kept at bay.
I doubt that very much, Took. It would only be a matter of time before your kingdom is discovered. And you wouldn't be able to count on anyone for assistance, especially if the Chinese enter with a big enough force to seize control and eradicate anyone they don't approve of.
Eradicate?
Your people might become extinct, Took.
My God!
Are you aware of what side of the border you're on right now?
You mean the Nepali or Tibetan?
Yes, exactly.
I don't know.
Here's the deal. You're in an area of Nepal that juts into Tibetan territory. It's like a middle finger in the face of the Chinese. They would like nothing better than to simply take that finger and break it in half by annexing the entirety of Mustang. And they would certainly have no problem doing so. They have a sizable force in Lhasa that they could mobilize and get into the region within 48 hours at the maximum. That's not nearly enough time to evacuate your people, is it?
I don't know. I wouldn't think it would be.
So, your position is extremely delicate. If I know the Chinese, they are going to doggedly pursue the idea of locating your kingdom, if that is indeed what Xu Xiao is after. And when they find it, they will simply crush the entire valley.
What can we do to stop it?
I don't know if we can do anything, my friend. The odds are that the Chinese already have people in that region searching.
How do you know this?
You said a missile brought your plane down, right?
Yes.
No doubt it was fired from a soldier on the ground. And if Xu Xiao radioed them to let them know the tail numbers on your plane, Xing's plane, then they would have been able to positively identify you and take you out as they attempted to do.
But no one followed up and made sure we were dead?
Well, perhaps you crash-landed away from them and they couldn't reach you. Look, Took, I'm not saying this is exactly what happened, but I'm saying there exists a real danger here. And I hate having to be the one who tells you, but I owe you the truth.
Are you coming here?
As soon as I can. But you need to find out how I can actually get there. I can't do much from this side.
Took, what's going on?
Oh no, Anya sees me on the phone.
Does she really?
Took!
And she doesn't look pleased.
No doubt she thinks you are holding out on her and Mike. Don't worry about it. She'll get her cool back soon enough.
I think she wants a word with you.
Oh dear. Well, better hand her the phone then. Put it on speaker first, though.
Took.
Hi, Anya. I was just...
You had a phone this entire time and you never said anything? How dare you hold that back from us?
I wanted to tell you. Really, I did.
We'll discuss it later. Now, who is this exactly?
Hello, Anya. It's been a while.
Oh, Garin.
The same.
You have a way of popping up when I least want to hear from you. What in the world are you doing calling Took?
Took is working for me. He has been for some time now.
Please, what would Took ever do for someone like you?
You say that like I'm the worst person on the planet, Anya. I might take offense.
I can think of a few who might be worse, but it's a close race if it makes you feel any better.
The only reason you don't love me to death is because you've just never understood my agenda. If you did, there might be hope for us yet.
Doubtful. We've come out of things at different extremes far too often for me to think there'd ever be a peaceful alliance there. I can't tell you how many times you've made me want to scream.
I make lots of women scream. Usually, they don't complain about it afterwards.
Don't you wish that was the reason?
I'd never deny that bedding you would be one of the best experiences in my life. It would be for you as well, if only you'd give in to what you feel and admit that you love me.
I most certainly do not.
If you insist. Don't be upset with Took. He was only following my orders, and it's not like he betrayed you or anything.
All right, fine. Whatever. What's he been doing for you anyway?
Keeping track of you.
He's been following me. So that's why he was in the airplane. He told me he was a drunk and fell asleep trying to get over a hangover.
You were too smart to fall for that, Anya. You never believed it from the moment he told you. So stop pretending to be angry now that I've confirmed it. It's unbecoming.
Why has he been following me? What's the big deal?
I asked him to look after you so I could make certain you were safe.
I'm in danger?
Anya, you are very rarely not in danger in that so-called life of yours. Most of the time, I believe you're miraculously lucky to walk down the street without someone dropping a piano on you. It amazes me you even manage any type of social life at all.
Who said I have one of those?
I'm being kind, my dear.
You'd better explain yourself, Garin. I'm not liking the way this conversation is headed.
Took's been with you since you landed the other day. I set it up well ahead of time, but it was necessary for me to keep tabs on you. I believe you stumbled into something that you don't fully understand. And for purposes best known to myself, I find it necessary to make sure you stay safe.
I thought it was because of my sparkling personality.
More likely, your spectacular ass.
Garin, is there a point to this conversation, or is all this just making you feel good about yourself?
I just informed Took that the woman you saw in Singh's apartment the other night works for Chinese intelligence.
Taipei or Beijing? There's a difference.
Beijing.
Oh.
And she is an expert assassin. If she's been let loose from her cage, you can bet that it is because there's a major target in play. I have no idea right now who that might be. It could be you, it could be Took. It might be someone I don't even know about yet. But considering that she was positioned near Tsing, it's more likely that it's someone involved in your little jaunt to discover Shangri-La.
All right. So where do we go from here?
I need to see you.
Here? You want to come here?
That would be optimal, yes.
I can't tell you the first thing about getting here. As far as I know, we could have been taken here in a time machine.
You weren't. If there was a time machine on this planet, I would know about it.
What I mean to say is I don't know how we came to be here. I'm sure Took will verify this for you.
He did. Regardless, I need to get there. So I've instructed Took to figure it out and then call me back.
Where are you now?
Jomsom. I'm close, but for all I know, the assassin could be closer.
Great.
Listen to me, Anya. I know that we haven't always seen eye to eye in the past. I understand that my motivations may not coincide with your own. Despite that fact, I am being very serious when I tell you that there is something going on here that I don't fully understand.
All right.
Took tells me you were shot down by a missile, is that right?
I'm no expert, but we definitely took rocket fire yesterday.
Any idea what kind?
None. First we knew about it, we were flying over a snowfield near Dalagiri. Mike threw the plane into all sorts of maneuvers and it missed us. We swept back to land at Jumsum to try and figure out who might be shooting at us and then got nailed by the second missile.
You shouldn't have turned back.
We were on a direct course to cross the Tibetan border. The alternative didn't look so good, you know?
You think it was shoulder-fired?
Again, I don't know. We didn't see a thing down there except a snow-white blanket. It could have been an emplacement. It might have been fired from someone's shoulder if they were well camouflaged. I just can't say.
Very well. Take care of yourself, Anya. Just because you're in a supposed utopian world, don't forget that there is a very real world back out here. And sometimes those two worlds can get crossed. When they do, bad things can happen.
I'll see you if Took manages to figure out a way to get you here.
Keep things to yourself, Anya. Don't be so trusting, even when you're there.
I understand.
Anya, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to misread you, but I didn't think I was doing anything bad. Garin, as you call him, seemed most concerned about your safety and welfare. I didn't think it was wrong what I was doing.
I know. How did he manage to find you anyway?
In my old life, I worked for intelligence services operating in Kathmandu. I was a tracker. I freelanced for them all and did my job very well. But then things changed, and the world of espionage was not where it used to be with all its modern technology. I was forced to seek employment with criminals and thugs, the likes of which I have hated from the start. When Garin found me, it made my heart leap at the chance to once again do some good work.
And he paid well, didn't he?
Extremely so. All I wanted was enough to retire on. I wanted to buy a home in the countryside and leave my former existence behind.
I can't blame you for that, Took. I just wish you'd been honest with me from the get-go.
I had my orders, Anya. I hope you can understand. Part of what made me such a great tracker was my obedience to mission parameters.
Yeah, I understand. I don't like it, but I understand.
Did you listen to what Garin had to say?
I did.
And what did you think about it?
I'm not sure yet. Garin sometimes says things that aren't wholly factual.
He lies?
I hate to burst your bubble about your employer, pal, but yeah, he's been known to lie before. He's lied a lot to me personally.
That is unfortunate.
But who knows? He could be completely honest right now about this thing. You just never really know with Garin until all the cards are on the table and you can see what he's got. Even then, I wouldn't buy into everything. Garin's been known to have a few extra aces up his sleeve.
He sounds like a most interesting man.
Something like that. What do you think of this notion that the Chinese are involved here somehow?
I don't know what to think. But I saw that woman Garin mentioned, and she terrified me.
So you think she's capable of being what Garin said she was?
I was in Singh's penthouse the night you and Mike were there as well.
You were? How did you manage that feat?
I managed to infiltrate the apartment successfully in order to keep an eye on you.
Oh yeah? And what would you have done if Mike and I were in danger?
Honestly, I have no idea.
So you saw this woman?
She had stepped out of the apartment, and that enabled my entrance. I was caught unaware when she returned. But whereas most people will walk right by my hiding spots and be none the wiser, she seemed to sense my presence there in the darkness. Her eyes pierced the night and seemed to stare right into my soul. And I shall never forget the image of her fingernails. They looked like claws or blades. She struck fear into my very soul.
Great. Sounds like just the kind of woman I could have a beer with.
That is something I doubt very much.
I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, sorry. Oh, here comes Mike.
I don't think we should talk too much about this with anyone else, Took.
I agree.
It's just that it might make some people upset. If something happens, then we'll deal with it.
With your sword?
Maybe. And don't you dream of mentioning that to anyone either.
Especially, I'm assuming, Garin?
He already knows about it. Too late to keep that secret from him. In the meantime, you have to figure out how to get Garin over here.
I'll speak with my father. I'm certain he will tell me what we need to know.
He seemed to know all about your phone call. I'd be curious as to how he pulled off that trick.
Maybe I'll ask him that too.
You do that.
And if it's true what he says, that there is indeed an assassin headed here at the behest of the Communist Chinese, what then?
Then she and I will just have to have a serious talk.
I see. I see you soon, Anya.